Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're back with a fresh look at what's happening locally.
Yeah, we've got the latest, our community news here. This one's volume 25, number 4, dated April 5th, 2025.
And it covers, well, the whole Tri-Lakes area, Palmer Lake, Monument, Woodmore, schools, fire district. It's all in here.
It really is. OCN does a good job of pulling together all the threads from northern El Paso County.
So our goal today is basically to give you the rundown, the key takeaways from this issue, sort of a shortcut to understanding what's going on.
Exactly. Pull out the most important developments, give you a clear picture without needing to read every single line.
All right, let's dive right into Palmer Lake then. The Buc-ee's annexation saga seems to be ongoing.
Well, yes and no. OCN clarifies something important here. Remember, the annexation request was withdrawn.
After the lawsuit by Integrity Matters, yeah.
Right. So the paper notes, the board attorney actually announced that the resolution declaring the land eligible for annexation is now considered null and void, legally off the table, basically.
Okay, so that specific attempt is done. But is the whole idea dead?
Maybe not entirely. OCN does mention that, according to reports in other news outlets, there's still a chance the annexation petition might be resubmitted.
Interesting. So keep an eye on that one.
Definitely. And for those tracking the details, the paper says the traffic study is posted now,
Okay.
and the fiscal impact and water studies were apparently in draft form around mid-March. So information's starting to come out.
Gotcha. Now, sticking with Palmer Lake politics, there's this potential recall effort mentioned.
Yeah, this is significant. Recall petitions for three trustees, Ball, Dreher, and Stern, were approved as meeting the legal form requirements.
So what does that mean practically?
It means the signature gathering phase can begin. They have 60 days.
60 days to get how many signatures?
At least 275 signatures from registered Palmer Lake voters. That's the threshold.
And if they hit that number.
If the town clerk verifies the signatures, then a recall election has to be scheduled within 90 days.
Wow, so that could really shake things up on the board.
Absolutely. It introduces a level of uncertainty for the town's leadership in the coming months.
Okay, another item from Palmer Lake. This debate about a social media policy for the trustees. That feels very 21st century.
It really does. OCN reports Mayor Glenn Havenar was initially hesitant about a really strong policy.
Why was that?
She mentioned experiencing, and I think her words were, lies and filth online. Wanted to protect herself, basically, which highlights a real challenge for public figures today.
Yeah, that line between public and private life online is tricky.
But then the town attorney weighed in with a key legal point
Which was?
that any social media that's publicly funded or used for official town business is generally seen legally as a non-restricted public forum.
Meaning the town can't just shut down comments or control everything said there.
Exactly. So they drafted a policy trying to draw a line between official town stuff and personal posts.
But it sounds like even personal posts are kind of public anyway.
The draft policy acknowledged that, yeah.
Yeah.
It emphasized that even personal social media is still largely public in perception.
Did the board like this draft policy?
Not universally, it seems. OCN notes Trustee Dreher brought up his First Amendment rights, his right to free speech.
Okay.
And Mayor Havenar apparently mentioned being referenced online by the wife of another board member. So
Yeah.
some tension there.
And the outcome.
No action was taken on the policy at that meeting. So that discussion is probably not over yet.
All right, let's shift to the Palmer Lake Police Department. It sounds like the new chief, Glenn Smith, has a clear focus.
Yeah, his initial priorities, according to OCN, are really about the fundamentals:
Yeah.
standards, policies, procedures.
Building a solid foundation.
Exactly. And a key piece of that is working towards state accreditation. He called it the roadmap to bring the entire standard of the police department higher.
Accreditation involves specific steps,
He
right?
does. They're looking at and budgeting for the necessary software.
Okay.
And the chief plans to assess training in key areas: crisis intervention, officer safety, de-escalation, things like that.
Makes sense. Anything else on his agenda?
He also wants to increase the department's visibility in the wider El Paso County community. And internally, there's an evidence audit happening to clear out old items.
Administrative stuff. What about resources? Staffing, vehicles?
They're working on a vehicle replacement schedule, which is important for the long term, and recruitment and retention are big focuses.
Are they hiring?
Yes. OCN lists openings for two full-time officers and one part-time position for admin and evidence handling.
And looking further ahead, there's talk of a new building.
Potentially. The board authorized Mayor Havenar to sign an agreement for a feasibility study,
For what kind of building?
a combined public safety building, police and fire together. They even got a matching grant from the state. $12,500, to help pay for that study.
That sounds like a sensible approach, combining services.
It could be. And in the immediate term, the chief is getting a new vehicle.
Oh, yeah.
The board approved up to $38,000 from the general fund.
Then did they buy one?
Yep. Resolution 32-2025 passed, authorizing the purchase of a 2025 Chevy Colorado for just under $35,000 for the chief.
Okay, good. Let's talk about that piece of land in Palmer Lake that always seems to generate discussion. The Elephant Rock property.
Yes. Its future is definitely a hot topic. The Parks and Trails Commission, OCN reminds us, presented their vision back in February.
What was their idea?
A passive park. Low-impact recreation, basically. Keep it natural.
But it sounds like not everyone's on the same page, or there are hurdles.
There are definitely different ideas and concerns. Mayor Havenar brought up traffic.
On Highway 105.
Exactly. If it becomes a popular park, traffic could increase. And she worried about what CDOT, the State Transportation Department, might require in terms of road improvements.
Which the town might have to pay for.
Right. She also suggested maybe using part of the property for a community center, a different kind of use.
Any other ideas floated?
Oh, yeah. Trustee Hudson thought they should hire a professional site planner.
Get an expert opinion.
Trustee Caves had several ideas. Soltart for a soccer field, mentioning Richard and Lindsay Willen specifically, maybe sell the existing buildings on about an acre and set aside some land for that potential public safety building we just talked about.
So lots of possibilities being thrown out there.
And Trustee Jerka even suggested using an existing building for police or firefighter housing.
Interesting. Was there any caution urged?
Yes. Trustee Collins reminded everyone they need to follow current regulations, traffic, drainage, stormwater, all that needs to be properly addressed.
And he warned against doing things bit by bit.
Yeah, a piecemeal approach, he called it. And CDOT's role is key here. OCN says CDOT confirmed the town would have to fund a traffic study if development increases traffic on 105.
And if the study shows improvements are needed, like turn lanes.
CDOT would require them, yes. Things like turn lanes, deceleration lanes. The town would fund the design and construction, though Highway 105 remains a state highway.
So what's happening now with Elephant Rock?
For now, the board agreed to let the Parks and Trails Commission do small projects, signs, benches, that sort of thing.
But the big picture is still undecided.
Right. Trustee Cave really stressed the need for a proper plan development document. Zoning, land use, nail it all down.
And who's going to do that?
Cave and Hudson actually volunteered to work on creating that plan. So that's the next step there.
Okay, one last thing from Palmer Lake in this issue. Considering a single trash hauler for the whole town.
Yeah, this came up after a suggestion from Trustee Stern. The idea is it could save residents money and maybe cut down on truck traffic.
Did they look into it?
They held a workshop. Three companies came in and gave presentations: Apex Waste Solutions, who operate as Infinite Disposal, Republic Services, and Waste Connections.
Are those presentations public?
OCN says they're available on the town website if people want to see the details.
Was there immediate support for the single hauler idea?
Some reservations were expressed. Trustee Dreyer worried about forcing residents to use one specific company.
But could residents opt out?
Trustee Stern pointed out they could still haul their own trash. But Trustee Collins noted the companies probably based their pricing on getting most, if not all, residents signed up.
And legally, can the town make residents use their chosen company?
The town attorney confirmed, no, they can't legally require it. So it's more about whether an attractive enough deal can be negotiated, I guess. Still needs more discussion. All right, let's move on now to the Tri-Lakes Area School District. D38, lots of updates here in OCN.
Yeah, a big one is figuring out where to put the Homeschool Enrichment Academy and the Transition Services Program.
They're both in Grace Best Elementary now, right? And that building's coming down.
Exactly. Grace Best is slated for demolition, so they need new homes.
What are the options?
For transition services, they're thinking maybe temporarily move them into the new Career and Innovation Center.
Would that work?
They think the medical services space there might be enough for a while, and it avoids paying rent somewhere else. Longer term, maybe a new steel building or a modular structure. And the homeschool academy. Different needs there, I imagine.
Definitely. Needs more space. So options are renting or buying an existing building and fixing it up. The one place they looked at didn't seem promising.
For building something new.
Or new build, yeah. Again, maybe steel or modular. They're looking at possible locations for that.
Is there a short-term plan so programs aren't disrupted?
They've talked to the fire marshal about possibly staying in part of Grace Best for the next year until a permanent spot is ready.
Would that be safe? with the demolition planned.
If they go that route, the fire marshal would cordon off any unsafe areas, like where there have been water leaks.
Okay. Moving beyond those specific programs, what about overall facility planning in D-38? OCN mentions it's a strategic priority.
It is priority 4 in their plan. The main focus is this capital assessment process, basically. A big prioritized list of all the building projects needed across the district.
How much are they spending on that?
For the last couple of years, it's been $3 million annually. Trying to catch up on deferred maintenance, you know?
But that might change.
Looks like it might dip slightly next year to $2.5 million. There's some uncertainty about state funding from the School Finance Act.
How do they decide which projects get done?
They do annual walkthroughs of all the schools, principals, building managers, they're all involved.
Trying to replace things before they break down.
Exactly. Catch boilers, roofs, etc. before it's an emergency. The goal is a big document showing needs by school, building capacity.
And comparing that to enrollment projections.
Right. Looking ahead 5 years, considering new housing developments too. Trying to plan proactively.
Okay. And the Career and Innovation Center, any updates there? It sounds like that's moving along.
Definitely making progress. OCN reports a presentation on grant applications and all the letters of support they've gotten from industry, other schools to help buy equipment.
That's great.
They even had a well-breaking ceremony at the end of March. Since it's a renovation, not new construction, it involved taking down non-load-bearing walls.
And students were involved.
Yeah, it was nice to see two Lewis Palmer Middle School students mentioned Kaylee Klosky and Kathy Stevenson attending the meeting. Good experience for them.
Absolutely. Now, what about policy reviews? Superintendent Frampton wants to change how they handle those.
Seems so. He asked for a new process. Currently, it's usually a first reading, no vote, then a second reading with a vote.
And he wants to streamline that.
His idea was maybe approve policies that haven't changed in years via the consent agenda, the routine stuff.
And for major changes.
Suggesting maybe more than 2 readings for those really significant alterations. Give them more time for discussion.
Makes sense. But there was a hitch.
Board member Wettstein pointed out that the review process itself is a policy. So to change the process, they'd first need to formally change that policy. A procedural point.
Ah, okay. Let's talk finances. How are the capital projects funded and managed?
Well, they reviewed the 40 capital projects finished this past year. An interesting note. If a project came in under budget, they rolled the leftover money to the next one on the list.
Efficient.
And they have a clear definition of capital. Land, improvements, construction, school vehicles, leases over $5,000.
Who decides how the money is spent?
2 committees mainly. The capital site audit team, with people from the schools, and the Capital Prioritization Committee, with district administrators. OCN says more details are on the board doc system online.
What about enrollment and funding overall? That's always critical.
Enrollment is down slightly, OCN reports, but every full-time student brings in over $7,000, so even small changes matter.
Is state funding changing?
There's talk at the state level about changing how the average student counts for funding, maybe moving from a 5-year average to 4 3-years. That could have an impact.
And special education funding.
D-38 gets $2.3 million from the state for special ed, but actually invests an extra $6.3 million of its own funds to meet student needs.
That's a significant local investment. What's the projected per pupil funding for next year?
The estimate for 2025-26 is $7,628 per student.
Okay. It's always good to see recognition, too. OCN highlighted some positive contributions.
Definitely. Steve and Cindy Waldman got recognized for organizing the annual chess tournament for 18 years now.
That's a big event, right?
Huge. Second or third largest in Colorado, apparently.
Really?
108 students competed this year, K through 12. The winners were all listed.
Nice. Who else was recognized?
Lori Caves from Care Portal. She was honored for her service to the Tri-Lakes and Lewis Palmer communities.
She used to work for the district too, didn't she?
Yeah, with the Colorado Preschool Program. Now she's with Care Portal, which does amazing work connecting community support with families who need it.
Care Portal is a fantastic resource.
It really is. It helps bridge the gap. Their website, for anyone interested, is www.careportal.org.
Okay, let's turn now to Monument Academy, the charter school. There was a significant resolution passed recently, according to OCM.
Yes, a resolution concerning gender. Board President Ryan Graham introduced it.
What did it say?
It formally recognizes only 2 sexes, male and female, and states the board rejects what it calls gender ideology.
And the reasoning?
The resolution mentions beliefs in natural law, moral truth, student safety, and emphasizes a clear distinction between sex and gender expression identity.
This is obviously a very sensitive and debated topic.
Absolutely. The resolution also referenced some recent federal executive orders about defending women, biological truth, and ending radical indoctrination.
Did it mention funding?
It suggested potential impacts on federal funding if school policies don't align with recognizing biological sex.
What does the resolution actually direct the school to do?
It tells the executive director to update policies, procedures, facility use rules, everything to be consistent with recognizing only two sexes.
Including things like restrooms and sports.
Yes. Mandates separate restrooms and locker rooms for males and females. And prohibits males competing against females in sports.
Does it go further than that?
It also says the academy might decline to compete against teams where they believe this isn't being followed.
Was there public comment on this?
OCN reports that Justin Kaminsky spoke. He identified himself as the husband of a MA teacher and father of three MA students.
What did he say?
He stated his belief that the majority of parents support strong discipline, mentioning recent alleged incidents of physical harm.
And he urged enforcement of?
He urged enforcement of parental expectations and the MA handbook rules, pointing out provisions about expulsion for behavior detrimental to student staff safety on or off property.
Did he cite specific rules?
He noted the handbook says offenses that would be assault under Colorado law if committed by an adult are grounds for expulsion for a student.
Okay. Let's shift now to the town of Monument itself. They're working on a big comprehensive plan, Monument 2040.
Yeah, this is a major undertaking. It's meant to guide the town's future for the next, you know, decade or more.
And it's based on public input.
Heavily. It's designed to shape land use, development, capital spending, grant applications, the budget, everything, really, setting expectations for both public and private investment.
Who's helping the town with this?
They've partnered with the Lakota Group, a planning and design firm.
And they've been gathering input how?
Lots of ways. OCN mentioned 17 focus groups, plus a big Bear Creek community conversation.
How many people were at that?
About 60 residents, apparently, discussing things like housing, the economy, parks, downtown, sustainability, safety, a whole range of topics.
The consultants emphasized it's community-driven.
Yes, community-led and community-driven was the phrase OCN reported. Their process has phases: learning, testing ideas, then developing strategies.
What's the ultimate goal?
To let residents really shape Monument's future through a strategic roadmap, development guidance, a community vision, policies that reflect what people want. And it's meant to be an evolving plan, not set in stone.
Was there a recent workshop?
Yes. Early March at Bear Creek Elementary, focused on specific things like downtown boundaries, transport, land use, historic preservation, housing, park access, getting down to details.
Okay. Water is always a big topic here. Monument is involved in a regional partnership.
Looks like it. They passed Resolution 15-2025, authorizing participation with the Pikes Peak Regional Water Authority.
On what kind of project?
A study looking into indirect potable reuse, basically treating wastewater to drinking water standards across the region, primarily El Paso County, including Palmer Lake.
Is the study available?
OCN says the full report is on the town's website. A forward-thinking approach to water, for sure.
And Monument is also upgrading its own wells.
Yes, specifically dealing with iron levels in wells 11, 12, and 13.
What was the problem?
Elevated iron, causing taste and discoloration issues after the wells went online. Residents complained.
So what are they doing?
Resolution 18-2025 amended a contract to design and engineer an iron removal system for those three wells.
Who's doing the design?
4-H Associates, the same company that designed the original well system.
Do they know the cost yet?
The design contract was approved, but the estimated cost to actually build the removal systems is around $500,000.
Did the council discuss the cost?
Yeah, they discussed scope, potential costs, long-term impact. The resolution for the design work passed unanimously.
Okay. What about the Monument Planning Commission? OCN has notes from their March 12th meeting.
A big item was the Promontory Point Water Tank Project.
That's the one with the big ARPA grant, right?
Yeah, $7 million in federal funds for a new 1.5 million gallon tank. Big infrastructure project.
What approvals does it need?
Rezoning from PUD to final plat and a major amendment to the Sanctuary Point PUD plan.
Are they just putting in a tank?
The site plan includes concrete and screen walls, landscaping, AD access to. The project team, NES Inc. and the Triview Metropolitan District, stressed the need for more water storage.
Any public comments?
Mostly minor stuff about visual changes compared to an older tank that used to be there.
And the Planning Commission's decision.
They voted to recommend approval to the town council.
Did they mention the Monument 2040 plan too?
Yes, they highlighted the ongoing engagement, urged people to check the website and give input, reminded everyone it's a 10-15-year blueprint covering housing, economy, stormwater, parks, downtown. The works, led by the Lakota Group.
All right, let's move over to the Tri-Lakes Monument Fire Protection District, or MFD. What's been happening there?
Quite a bit, according to OCM. At their February 26th meeting, they approved bringing a new area into the district.
Whereabouts?
About 106 acres off Gambler Place, planned for about 10 single-family homes. So they'll get MFD service now.
They also talked about impact fees.
Yes. They got an update on that study looking at potentially increasing the fees charged to new development, currently $771.
Why the potential increase?
A state law change now lets them collect these fees in unincorporated parts of the county, too. The study looked at what the fee could be.
What's the next step?
The report went to the Housing and Building Association. MFD plans to talk with builders. Any change probably wouldn't happen until 2026.
What about their accreditation efforts?
Making good progress. They adopted the 2025 Community Risk Assessment and Standards of Cover, which are part of the process. They think they're about 95% done with the self-assessment.
When do outside reviewers come in?
Peer assessors are scheduled for May. It's a big step towards demonstrating they meet national standards.
Any facility work approved?
Yes. Two contracts awarded to Flint Co. LLC. One for finishing the north side remodel of Station 4 on Glen Eagle Drive under $158,000.
And the other?
For remodeling that rental property they own on Mitchell Avenue. That one's budgeted up to $500,000.
They also discussed the fire chief's contract in executive session.
Yes, that was mentioned.
Did they have a strategic workshop too?
They did, on March 15th, looking at long-term goals.
What came out of that?
OCN notes, Chief Kovacs will review long-term fiscal sustainability, how growth impacts finances. Taking a conservative approach to staffing due to property tax fluctuations.
Looking at revenue, too.
Yeah, reviewing all sources. Oh. Impact fees, ambulance rates, the mill levy, maybe even a sales tax down the road.
Then at their March 26th meeting, the big topic was Station 3.
Rebuilding Station 3, yes. Discussed an $18 million lease purchase agreement to finance it.
What's the total cost expected to be?
Around $20.25 million. They already budgeted $3 million for this year.
Are they ready to build?
Land purchase is getting close. Construction will take about a year once it starts. They expect about $500,000 back from selling the old Station 3 property to Woodmore Water.
Did they approve the financing?
Not yet. The board asked for three different construction loan proposals first to compare options. Prudent financial planning.
Any other station upgrades?
Yes. Station 2 needed more money for its remodel. Approved an extra $85,000.
What for?
Mainly to replace a leaking flat roof. Brian Pierce Roofing is doing it. Comes with a 20-year warranty. Also some interior paint.
Where's that extra money coming from?
Capital expenditure budget. I mean, some other planned purchases for 2025 will likely be put on hold.
What about that plan for Front Range Fire Apparatus to buy part of the Station 1 land?
That's off. OCN reports they decided against it.
Why?
Apparently, the grading costs to prepare the site for their training center were too high. MFD is helping them look for another site and monument now.
Anything else from that meeting?
The board director election was canceled. Likely not enough candidates to require a vote. And they had another executive session.
For what?
Discussing the fire chief's contract again, instructing a negotiator, and developing strategy for negotiations with Black Forest Fire Rescue.
Okay, let's touch on the Forest Lakes Metropolitan District and Pinyon Pines Metro District 3. They had a meeting reported in OCN.
Right, on March 3rd. The main item was a request to approve issuing bonds for PPMD 3.
How much?
Up to $21 million principal amount. General Obligation Limited Tax Convertible Capital Appreciation Bonds, Series 2025. It's a specific type of bond.
What are the terms?
Bond Council outlined them. Fixed interest, about 30 years. Debt service capped at 40 mils, minimum 32. Max repayment around $27 million. Max interest 18%. Maturity by December 2056. Standard stuff for funding Metro District infrastructure.
Did they discuss anything else?
Briefly touched on enforcing covenant policies, especially for commercial properties. The current policy is mostly fines and notices. Talked about maybe updating it to include residential properties if they fall under the commercial district rules.
Got it. Moving down the road to Woodmore Water and Sanitation District, WWSD, what happened at their March 10th meeting?
Key item was approving an easement agreement with the Woodmore Improvement Association, WIA.
What's the easement for?
For drilling well 12R. A resident, Tish Norman, had raised concerns about noise and light from the drilling.
How did the district respond?
District Manager Phil Schaffer said they'd send notices, use temporary sound walls, hooded lighting to minimize impact, and restore the land afterward. Good communication there.
They also adjusted an agreement for that loop water reuse project.
Yes, similar to what Donala did later. Because Cherokee Metro District pulled out of the loop, they amended the agreement about how many board members each district appoints and the rules around unanimous votes, basically tweaking the governance to keep the project moving forward smoothly without Cherokee.
Any operational issues?
The operations report noted higher than usual water loss for 3 months straight. They suspect leaks in the pipes and are actively looking for them, maybe using new detection tech.
Any well problems?
Two, actually. Well, 10 had a motor failure, and well, 21 had a problem with its variable flow device, just the ongoing reality of maintaining infrastructure.
What about the engineer's report?
Working with Classic Homes on the Monument Junction development timelines, and they hit a snag drilling that new Dawson Aquifer well had to change the build method. Shows drilling isn't always straightforward.
Okay, let's check in with the Monument Sanitation District, MSD. Their March 19th meeting sounds like it was pretty quiet.
Yeah, OCN reported their board election was canceled too. Same reason, only as many candidates as open seats.
Anything in the manager's report?
Just that they replaced a couple of leaky toilets at the HQ building that were running up the water bill. They plan to install a pressure-reducing valve to prevent that happening again. Smart move.
Did anyone express interest in joining the board?
Yes. A resident named John Smith said he might be interested in serving in the future. Discussion about the nomination process and election laws followed. Smith said he'd consider an appointment if a vacancy came up.
Good to see resident interest. Now, Triview Metropolitan District. They had two meetings in March reported in OCN. Let's start with the special meeting on March 3rd.
The big item there was approving the exact wording for the May 6th bond ballot question.
This is for the Higbee Road improvement.
Correct. Asking voters to approve taking on $12.6 million in debt, maximum repayment $25.25 million.
What kind of bonds?
30-year general obligation bonds, max interest 5.20%, annual payment around $835,000.
How would they pay that back?
From their existing 7 mil property tax, road and bridge fees, and some sales tax reimbursement they get from Monument.
Were there reminders about campaigning?
District Council reminded staff they can't use district funds to promote a yes vote, but board directors can provide information. They just have to report any personal funds they spend doing so. Project details are online.
What else happened at the special meeting?
Approved an agreement about Teachout Creek crossing improvements with Conexus Metro District and Conexus LOC, likely related to development infrastructure.
And the upcoming election.
Noted the four candidates for three board seats. Eric Demkovich, John Givens, Anne-Marie Ajola, Mike McEwen. Bios are in the newsletter and online.
Okay, now the regular Triview meeting on March 20th. Water seemed to be a big topic.
Huge. They reported they finished pumping leased water from Pueblo Reservoir via the Northern Delivery System, now using their Fountain Mutual irrigation water.
Were they worried about Pueblo Reservoir spilling?
Discussed the potential. They have storage in their South Reservoir, which spills at 1,630 acre feet. They've been moving water around to make space, anticipating a spill as possible.
They also mentioned their CSU water exchange.
Yeah, that continues monthly. And they made a pretty bold statement.
Which was?
That with the CSU connection and their Rampart Reservoir storage, they have an infinite renewable water supply. And that makes their well water supplement renewable too. Strong words.
Wow. Any wastewater issues?
An ongoing one. More water seems to be leaving the treatment plant than coming in. They hope replacing a 6-inch measuring flume with a 9-inch one will fix the measurement discrepancy.
What about water loss in the drinking water system?
The superintendent noted an uptick, 2.6 million gallons in January, 2.8 million in February. They're investigating causes, maybe related to updating commercial meters.
Any new land coming into the district?
Accepted a petition to include a 67-acre property, Delacrochier Ranch LLC, off West Baptist Road. Proposed for mixed housing, including affordable units. District says serving it won't be a burden. Public hearing will be scheduled later.
Any new policies approved?
Yes. Resolution 2025-04 on water backflow prevention and 2025-05 for the subdistrict. A budget zero balance, no mill levy.
What about the economic development policy?
They tabled that one. Resolution 2025-05, concerns about restrictive or discriminatory language. Council and the consultant will revise it.
Okay, let's look at the El Paso County Regional Loop Water Authority, the Loop Project. What's the latest there from OCN's March report?
They awarded a key contract to Burns and McDonald.
For what part of the project?
Designing the water treatment plant and doing pilot testing. Crucial step.
Did they discuss acquiring land?
Considered issuing a letter about potentially using eminent domain, but stressed it's only if negotiations fail with the firm handling easement acquisition, Western States Land Services.
Can he talk about funding?
Preliminary discussion about hiring a financial advisor, Holman Capital was mentioned. Suggested a workshop to figure out funding for the next stages.
And they had an executive session.
Yes, for legal advice on negotiating positions. Standard practice for complex projects.
All right. Donala Water and Sanitation District, DWSD, March 27th, meeting news. Rate increase confirmed.
Yes, that 5% water and sewer rate hike they voted on in February is now in effect.
Their election was canceled too?
Yep. Same situation as Monument Sanitation and Triview Fire, apparently. Not enough contested seats.
Any other news?
They passed their sanitary survey successfully. That's a good sign for water quality management.
Did they also amend their loop agreement?
They did. Just like Woodmore Water, adjusting board appointments and quorum rules after Cherokee Metro left the project, keeping that regional effort coordinated.
Any operational updates?
Heard reports. The redrilling of Well 7D near their HQ is apparently zipping along. They held meetings with neighbors, expect drilling to start around May 1st, replaced an undersized transformer there too.
And they also had an executive session.
Yes, to figure out their negotiating stance on Willow Creek Ranch water rights.
Okay, moving up to the county level. El Paso County Planning Commission meetings in March.
On March 6th and 20th, OCN reports they recommend an approval for a few things to the Board of County Commissioners, BOCC.
Like what?
The final plat for Berkheimer Subdivision, 13.68 acres off Black Forest Fessy Road, split into two lots.
Anything else?
Recommended approval for a replat in Heritage States Filing 2, and the final plat for Paintbrush Hills Filing 11. Standard development approvals moving forward.
And what did the BOCC actually approve in their March meetings?
OCN notes they approved the Misfits Crew Estates final plat on March 13th or 18th. Got it. Let's check in with NEPCO, the Northern El Paso County Coalition of Community Associations. What was discussed at their March 15th meeting?
They had the Colorado Deputy Commissioner of Insurance as a speaker. Big topic.
Makes sense, with insurance costs rising.
Exactly. Business Report included updates on their website, mapping work with Monument Fire, and wildfire prep via Constant Connect. Doing joint work mapping HOAs, metro districts, water districts, etc.
What about the insurance discussion?
Focused heavily on recent state laws impacting HOAs and homeowners. Bills covering homeowner insurance, risk models, the AFLAN, a market study, and new state reinsurance enterprises for homes and wildfire catastrophe. A lot of legislative activity.
Do they have an insurance professional speak too?
Yes, Rob Sercek, an insurance broker. He pointed to rising labor material costs and fewer insurers as reasons for premiums jumping 70% increase from 2020 to 2024, he said.
His advice.
Compare policies, review coverage annually. Standard good advice.
Any other update at the NEPCO meeting? Brief ones from Monument Fire on mitigation advice and Tri-Lakes Preservation reiterating concerns about Bucky's water and traffic.
Okay, Woodmore Improvement Association, WIA. What issues came up in their meetings reported by OCN?
Concerns about that WWSD well, 12-hour redrilling noise, sediment, revegetation plans, working hours.
Mm-hmm.
WIA's forestry director plans to review WWSD's plans when they get them.
Anything else?
Addressed complaints about a neighbor, alleged squirrel shooting, wood storage, harassing neighbors, led to discussion about consistent covenant enforcement. Typical HOA stuff.
How about the Glen Eagle Civic Association, GCA?
Big news is they decided to draft a whole new covenants document. Hired a law firm, Mayan Law, for a flat fee. First draft expected soon.
Will residents get to weigh in?
Yes, they plan two or three town halls for member feedback. Trying to get buy-in.
Are they paying committee members now?
Discussed compensating any member who participates on committees because volunteers are scarce. But the Covenants Committee itself will stay in-house, staffed by members.
What problems are they dealing with?
Water drainage from Eagle Villa townhomes, flooding backyards near Silver Rock Spyglass, damage to green space, maybe $1,000 worth, from electric motorcycles, asking residents to report sightings to the sheriff's non-emergency line.
Are they fixing signs?
Replacing damaged signposts with pressure-treated wood cost and durability issues. ARC, the Architectural Committee, is working through a backlog of requests, paint, sheds, mailboxes.
Any ongoing infrastructure issues?
That Eagle Village stormwater drainage problem persists. The old golf course had no system. Now green space gets channeled water, causing erosion. They've asked the developer for a solution, maybe riprap, but that has downsides too.
All right, let's take a quick break from governance and see what's happening between the covers at Covered Treasures Bookstore.
Always a nice change of pace. OCN highlights they're celebrating Poetry Month and Earth Day in April.
Featuring local poets.
Yes. Books by Coloradans, Emmy Johnson, Grace E. Kelly, and Catherine Winograd, with signings planned for April 5th.
Any specific book reviews mentioned?
Quite a few. Mountain. Go on a grand tour for young readers. The poetry collections by Johnson, Kelly, and Winograd. Shoreline of the Heart, Zen Buddhism Poetry, Hello Earth, Poems for Kids Connecting Poetry and Science, and The 12 Trees, but The Importance of Trees, good mix.
How about library news?
Monument Library has an Art for Older Adults class on April 10th, and Library 21C is hosting the annual Homeschool Resource Fair on April 11th. Great resources.
Palmer Lake Historical Society had an interesting meeting.
Yeah, featured Dave Harmon portraying General William J. Palmer himself. Talked about his background, railroad career, connection to Thomas Scott, bringing history alive.
Let's get some gardening tips from Janet Sellers. What's her advice this month in OCM?
Focus on deer deterrent landscaping. She lists things like marigolds, chives, lemon balm, herbs like parsley, thyme, dill, sage, mint. Also yarrow, allium, garlic, echinacea, chamomile. Good options for our area.
Did she mention the slash mulch program?
Praise the Black Forest slash and mulch program. Free mulch from May to September. Encouraged lazy gardening permaculture ideas, and put in a plug for volunteers needed at the Trilix Cares Food Garden.
Good reminders. What's happening on the trail with the Monument Hiking Group?
They had a planning session March 30th, scheduled a local hike for April 8th in the Mount Hermon area 716 trailhead to Limbaugh Overlook, about 4 miles, 1,200 feet gain. Micro spikes recommended.
Planning bigger trips too.
Yeah, extended hikes, maybe some 14ers. Also training sessions on safety devices like InReach and Zoleo. Mentioned Carrie Page Sasquatch as a local expert for off-trail stuff.
The Art Matters column tackled contemporary art.
Yeah, discussed how art shifted from patron-focused to artist-focused after the Renaissance. Traced the rise of salons, dealers, galleries, collectors, museums. Mentioned Impressionism, Modernism, Abstract Expressionism.
How did it define contemporary art?
Often engages with social, political, cultural issues. Ideas and meaning sometimes prioritized over technical skill. Art that questions, critiques, reflects beauty, chaos, environment, digital culture. A broad definition.
Let's glance through the snapshots of our community. Any highlights there?
Lots of great photos and short blurbs. D38 chess tournament winners, Bunka Night fundraiser, Lake and Lantern Cafe opening in Palmer Lake. It's an alcohol-free space. Hosts recovery meetings, too.
What else?
Talk about roundabout alternatives. Restrooms finally coming. The Monument Lake grant-funded. Taste of Life store expansion. Rock House ready for Easter. Plague Portrait Workshop, Stars of Tomorrow Winners, Whitecaps on Palmer Lake Striking Photo, Monument Cemetery Talk, WMMI Geology Day, Wildfire Risk Reduction Work.
And the WWII Vet's Birthday.
Yes. A celebration for World War II vet Jim Clemens turning 100. Served in Iwo Jima and Okinawa. Amazing. Also, the Trilakes Women's Club donated baby items to Trilakes Cares. OCN provided links and details for the cafe, restroom, store, and Trilakes Cares needs list, too.
Fantastic community snapshots. Finally, the Our Community Notices and Community Calendar sections. Always dense with info.
Absolutely packed. Notices cover the Black Forest slash mulch program. Reminder not to remove trailblazes and Fox Run. NAMI Parent Support Group info. Larkspur Church Food Bank details. Trilakes Cares needs list. Black Forest Log School help needed. Highway 105A update. Monument Academy traffic notice. WMMI volunteer needs. Space Foundation Discovery Center info. MVEA outage notifications. Various volunteer opportunities. Palmer Lake snow parking rules and safety tips.
And the calendar.
Just a huge list. Government meetings. Weekly and monthly events for dozens of groups. AARP, AA, ham radio, veterans, art groups, church services, bingo, literacy tutoring, support groups, quilting, Kiwanis, Rotary, Women's Club, you name it.
A special events.
OCN mailing days, D38 art show, pancake breakfast fundraiser, puzzle swap, book signings, Easter events, garden center openings, grant deadlines, networking, National Space Day, Taste of Trilakes Cares, Senior Summit, USF air show event, Maker's Market. It just goes on and on. Really shows how much happens here.
Well, that definitely brings us to the end of our deep dive into this April 5th, 2025 edition of our community news. Quite a lot going on across the Tri-Lakes region.
Absolutely. We've tried to hit the highlights, give you that concise overview of the key news and developments from this issue of OCN. Hopefully a good shortcut to staying informed.
Yeah, and covering everything from, town board decisions and school district plans to community events and bookstore reviews. It really shows the breadth of activity and engagement here.
It really does. It gives you a solid base if you want to pick up the paper and read more about any specific topic that caught your interest.
Definitely. And, considering just how much local news is in OCN and the level of participation you see reflected people attending meetings, volunteering, debating plans, it really makes you think, doesn't it?
About what?
About the health of local news and community involvement. It seems pretty strong here, based on this snapshot, something to ponder.
That's a great point. It's certainly a very active and engaged community. Until our next deep dive,